F1A. Number 18A.
We finished the prophecy of Zephaniah, and we have said that the last stone of love has a special significance because here the prophet first shows love in the seven subtones in the word order. And it is all in the positive because now he gives the climax after everything has been destroyed that needs to be destroyed. Then what is left over is a perfect picture. We could see that this perfection was shown through the seven synonymous term, first as mind, showing that love as mind gives us a pure mind, a mind of God that speaks the language of God. And so we can see that at this point everything is cast out, which is a dualistic mind. So we get from love, when we look out from love, we can see there is only one mind, and that mind can only know what God speaks and hear what God speaks. Then he has shown another subtone of spirit, namely that then all will come and serve only one God. From the point of view of love, a spirit, we see that there, because spirit is the only, there is only that one worship, the worship of spirit. Then in soul was that name, that or that picture, that all the countries, even Ethiopia, shall bring the offerings to God, that they will identify themselves with God and no more with anything else. Then, in principle, that love acts as a principle which says, all right, when everything is corrected within your heart through the first three tones, then principle is no more punishing you, then thy shame will be taken away from thee, and all thy doings will not count anymore. It shows the what you call the redemption, so to say, that principle brings when the inward attitude is corrected. From that point on, he gives the sense of life and says, then all that has been self-exalting has been swept away, and then you are worshipping on my holy mountain. That true exalted sense of the fifth day of creation. And finally, at the point of truth, when everything is exalted within us, then ye shall do no more iniquity. The remnant that is left then there, the idea man that is left, can do no more iniquity. Even if they would, they cannot do any more iniquity, because man, the true idea man, is unable to sin, to get become sick, and to die. So Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies any more. But what they will do, and here is the last stone, they can lay down in peace, they can feed and lay down, and none shall make them afraid. Nothing can make them any more afraid. Love knows no fear. So what I wanted to pinpoint is that in the tone of love, she gives the prophet gives the perfect picture of an inward perfect attitude, so that man at the point of love can no more do wrong. And so we said, then actually this should be the climax, and what do we more want more than to be at peace and at rest and no more have any fear, be no more afraid, what more? And the prophet gives another illustration of the word order, but this time in the inverted word order. And always when we get the inverted word order, other prophets do that too, always when we give the inverted word order, we, so to say, accentuate the completeness of being and stress, so to say, that nothing that can anymore rise up that can destroy that completeness. It gives the handling of evil from the point of view of perfection, from the point of view of love, therefore from the point of view of grace. You remember that John Dolley pointed out this inverted word order over and over, because he could see that that is the way how to handle evil from the throne of grace, and not as a burden. What does that imply, really? When we think back how this word order really came about, then I must see that this must be something in being itself, that is that rests in being itself, that it is a subcategory in being itself, and not just intellectual exercise or anything like that. You know how it came about historically. John Dolley always used to say, well, I train myself in the tonality of the word order. And he said, I will sit back and contemplate the infinite being. I will go through mind and the ideas of mind and fill my thought with the ideas of mind, then through the ideas of soul build up the tonality within me with the ideas of spirit, and then of soul, and then of principle, life, truth, and love. And he trained himself in that consciousness and would then also practice in that consciousness. That means that in his healing practice, that he would go through those great synonymous terms in order to establish the reality of being about everything. And then he said that suddenly one day he felt that if he want to use those synonymous terms in practice in order to free a sick consciousness, an erroneous consciousness of its erroneous beliefs, that he could actually should go out from love and deal with the case from the standpoint of perfection and see it from perfection in the reversed word order through truth, life, principle, soul, spirit, mind. And this has a good reason. It has the following reason, or say the spiritual import. It's not just reason. Spiritual import is that actually until we have a complete and perfect consciousness and feel within ourselves the perfection of being that is built up through the word order, that until we have that perfection in our consciousness, only then can we really handle evil fully. If we don't have that full concept and that fulfilled sense of being in our consciousness, that would mean that there are still some whys and buts over, still some uncertainties that are linger in consciousness, and therefore this would not have enough power and enough impact to handle error, because error is the counterfeit of all the seven synonymous terms. So only from the point of view of completion and completeness and perfection, from the point of view of love that embraces the whole universe in consciousness, can we really, with power and grace, with both, with grace and power, handle the belief in error. And so you could see that going out from the throne and, so to say, look down through the reversed word order to see that no error that is an opposite of the synonymous term can have any chance, can have power or a channel, can act, can have an opinion, can be a suggestion, so that in this way he would go out from love and always see that any belief in an opposite would be destroyed through that perfection of love. And that is what Zechariah here does too. Now he goes out from that standpoint of peace and rest and being no more afraid, where nothing anymore is in his consciousness that makes him afraid, but from that point he begins to handle now in the reversed word order the question of evil. It was naturally very interesting for John Dolly. I remember that he did that round about the middle of the 1940s, 1940s, that he suddenly began to say, look here, this is really the method of handling evil from the throne of grace. If we handle evil in the order of the word order, it is a metaphysical fighting. Whereas if we go out from love, from the perfection, then it is really science that does the work. And so his spiritual sense told him to deal with the problems he had to meet with his patient that way. And only afterwards, when he was studying Revelation, the book of Revelation, he suddenly saw there for the first time in the Bible that John the Revelator would at certain points use the word, the inverted word order, in order to handle evil. And so he had the so to say, the spiritual proof and certainty that what he has touched spiritually, that had existed since time immemorial, that is a category in being, or let's say a subcategory in being, that is absolutely scientific. When I did the Minor Prophets, I came across twice this reversed word order. John Dolly didn't know those seven Minor Prophets which I uncoded, and so he would have been very impressed by seeing what that Zephaniah is using, the very same method, namely in that last tone of love, that he would go first up the ladder, so to say, going up from mind to spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, but always, as we have seen, in a positive way, always seeing the fullness of love as mind, the fullness of love as spirit, love as soul, love as principle, love as life, love as truth, love as love. And then now, from that infinite abundance of being, perfection of being, now he looks, so to say, down and handles the question of evil, not as if evil would be something, but that it can't be something. So let's see how he, the prophet, was doing it. The way John Dolly did it, you can read in the book on Christian Science Practice. There, for over many pages, he shows the handling of evil in the reversed word order. So he goes out here from the throne of grace and shows first love. He says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. You can see every time the writers, the biblical writers of the Old Testament, when they wanted to bring out the woman sense, then they were talking about the daughter of science. That was their rendering, really, of the divine woman sense. Today we would say they were always showing in this way, really, the standpoint of divine science. Divine science including all ideas, the woman including the child, was always the starting point. Then we come to truth. Now looking out from love, he can see truth. The Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemies. Can you see now that he shows that error is cast out, that error has nothing to say anymore? He's not so much destroying error, but to see that if we look from the climax of love, that then we see truth as that that has taken away all error, all false judging that went on, and he has cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. Now we have the vision of life that thou canst see evil no more. See, when we are at the point of life and the point of fatherhood, then we project out into the universe only that which is of the nature of God, good. And that is the fatherhood sense. We provide the universe only with ideas and not with anything else. In that day it shall be said unto Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Wonderful sense of love as life in here. Again, love, fear thou not. What shouldst thou not fear? Don't let thy hand be slack. Life is always the impulsion of life, the eternal creativity of life, the mutation of life, the newness of life. There we can't be slack. There is that terrific activity of the impulsion of life. So it kills slackness. The Lord, we come to principle, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. Can you see again, the moment he talks about the midst of thee, it's principle. We had that before in the other prophets. Always saying, then in the midst, that's principle that stands in the midst. So the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You get the spiritual power, which is an idea of principle. He will save. So again, a tone, he is going to demonstrate things for you. You don't have to demonstrate it when you have that consciousness of love, which is full of mind and spirit and soul, principle, life, truth and love. Then that consciousness is going to see that there is no more any possibility of error. So here at the point of principle, he will save. And you can rely on it. Then comes soul, he will rejoice over thee with joy. You know, the joy of soul, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. And you get the joy of soul. So there is no more any sense of burden. And then spirit, I will gather them that are sorrowful. For the solemn assembly, he will gather them for a solemn assembly, he will gather them for true worship. Who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. So now it's no more a burden, now I will gather them for a solemn assembly. A solemn assembly is not a hell of a work. That's something gentle, that's not work, that's not the burden. And finally, at the point of mind, he says, behold, at that time I will undo all that afflicted thee. Can you see now the allness of mind? I will undo all that afflicted thee. And I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. So everywhere he speaks also about those who have been brought into the Assyrian captivity. He was delivering his message before the Babylonian captivity, but after the Assyrian captivity. So he says, even they shall be saved. He will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out, and they will get them praise. I will get them praise in the foreign lands. Even there in Assyria, I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And actually, history has told us that was so, that the Jews that were brought into the Assyrian captivity, that was 721, I think, before Christ, they actually didn't come back like the Babylonian captivities. Those in the Babylonian captivities, most of them came back. Why didn't they come back, the others? Because that captivity was not so bad as we think it was. It wasn't a concentration camp as we know it today with all our refined means of killing people. They all became famous there. They became good merchants. And they established themselves there. They became counselors in those countries after a while, just as Daniel was one of them. And it is said that then those were the lost sheep of Israel, of which Jesus was speaking, that his message, and he sent out his disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. They went to those Jews that lived in the diaspora. Do you call it diaspora or diaspora?
Diaspora.
Diaspora. Ah, yeah, that's even different, diaspora. And they never came back, but they seems to have been those Jews that afterwards emigrated to Russia, from Russia into Europe, and from Europe then over to America. So they never came back. They receive praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. So they say that really Zephaniah's prophecy would fulfill. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. And you know that after a while the captives were free, they were considered to be free people, they could worship their own God in the foreign lands, and so they had a good name and a praise among the people. Again, a prophet that sees that the concept of a God, of a national God of Israel, was not right, that God was all over, that it was a universal God, and that was naturally a great shock at that time to the Jews that were left in Judah. Yes. That's the prophecy of Zephaniah. You can see in that last order of the inverted word order, he gives, so to say, a sense that after having brought up consciousness through the word order to the point of peace and rest and being no more afraid, that from that point he began to realize that nothing could touch the idea anymore. That the idea would be now safe, and no matter what the situation was, that nothing could touch anymore that idea. Shall we just quickly run through it, what he said? And then afterwards we can perhaps translate it into our language. So he said, in the reversed word order, once we have established in consciousness the perfection of being, from that standpoint, of love, we just can sing and rejoice as the daughter of Jerusalem, as the motherhood sense of being. That motherhood sense always sees that it can protect the idea, so that the idea will never be touched by error anymore. Therefore, as truth, that consciousness says, therefore, from that point of view, it will take away the wrong judgment, you will no more suffer under injustice, and I have cast out now the enemy, that's finished, that is cast out, that's the truth. And then at the point of life would say, thou shalt see evil no more, you can no more see anything that is different than the cause, so project into being only the ideas of God. A mother can do nothing else but that. You see, a mother as love and life can only see in the child the best, always the best of the best. A mother can never see in the child something else. So she is mother and father at once and projects to the child only the highest, that which is of great promise. She anticipates really the fulfillment of that idea. That's the tone of love and life. Then it's love as principle, or from the point of view looking as principle, say that standpoint is principle, that's in the midst of thee, that's the center and circumference of your being, and therefore this is the saving power. I will save you with power. And then he shows soul and says, therefore you can rejoice with joy and be glad, and you get the sense of the balm of soul, the satisfaction of soul, so that the love as soul gives you that balm of soul, that love for the beautiful and the pure. And finally, in spirit it says, therefore you can see that all will gather together from all parts of the world for a solemn assembly. Everything will be turned to the point where they worship the one and only God. And this, and then it comes to mind, and this is then the point, I will afflict you no more, but on the other hand, I will show that all those that have been brought into captivity, for their shame they shall be recompensed. Love is always that which recompenses, as a recompense, and says, for that shame you have endured, I will make you great. You will gather praise and fame in every land where they have put you to shame. And so he ends with that promise of a universal salvation.